So just like what I was saying, we're on this middle of the study of the Ten Commandments. We've done the first three, and today we're going to do the last of the commandments that deal with man's relationship with God. So after this, it's all man's relationship with each other. What's the next commandment after this? Honor your father and your mother. So according to the video that we saw earlier, the fourth commandment is arguably the most neglected of all the commandments. When I say neglected, I mean we don't take it as seriously as we should. Some of us do, but some of us take it too seriously, to the point where they see you, or if they don't see you at church, you're automatic, you're not Christian. If they don't see you at church on Sunday, you're not Christian. I think that's too far extreme. But I think that as we understand it, and that's my goal this morning, is to hopefully deepen our understanding of this commandment. I hope that we will be able to see how it applies to our lives today. I hope that it will be a life-changing, be enlightened by it so that your life changes. The way you live your life, especially during the weekends. So let's do this. So in order for us to sharpen our focus on what this commandment is ultimately about, we need to focus on some words that are in the commandment, some important words. Obviously, the first word in the commandment that we need to focus on is the word what? Sabbath, right? The Sabbath. And we have to look at the whole statement, but let's start by looking at the important words. So the Sabbath, honor the Sabbath, or remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. So the Sabbath, what does the Sabbath mean? I'm not going to get into, like, obviously in detail, I have so much to say. But it literally means to cease, to stop, cease, or to rest. Like when you're at rest, you're not doing anything. But to rest can also mean a couple of other things. Like right now, I'm resting. I'm resting on something. It means I'm leaning on something. You can also view it that way. To cease, Sabbath, to cease, or to rest. Or I would even say to lean on something so that you can rest. Athletes do that, right? You watch basketball games. When you see them going like this, they tug on their shorts. They are leaning on something. Why? Because they need rest. So that's keep that in mind, that definition of the word Sabbath. So now, what is God trying to teach us in this fourth commandment? What we're going to do is we're going to look at this commandment. We're going to divide it into three parts. And these three parts are questions. We're going to look at the what of the commandment. We're going to look at the how of the commandment and the why. What, how, and why? First, what? What is God commanding the Israelites and all of us here today to do? First part, chapter 20, verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That part is important. If you look at different translations, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. There's one translation. Or remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. It's another translation. So just look at that part. But we're going to use the ESV for here. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Keep it holy. The NIRV says, remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. The Tanakh, remember what the Tanakh is from last week? Jewish translation of the Old Testament. The Tanakh says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Okay? Now, to make it more simple for us to understand, let's divide it even further. So first phrase that are common to all translations is the first part of the phrase. Remember the Sabbath day. So let's take up that part of the phrase first. So as far as we know, the word Sabbath means to what? To rest, to cease, or to lean on something so that you can rest. The other key word in that phrase guess what? What's the other keyword? Remember. Right? Remember the Sabbath day. To remember could mean a bunch of things, right? In the context of the phrase, Ryken, one of the commentaries, says that for the Israelites, to remember the Sabbath day was a reminder that they had heard about the Sabbath before. Okay? So it's like Moses saying, remember that Sabbath day? Remember that Sabbath day? Because they've heard this before. I would say that they've heard of the concept of the Sabbath day before. So the question is, when? When did they hear this? I want you to read two verses for me. Genesis 2, 1 to 3. Can you guys read that? Verse 2. Okay, so that's the first time. The second time was in Exodus 16:23. Exodus 16:23 says, remember when that happened? Instructions to gather manna in the wilderness, right? There was a Sabbath day mentioned there. Rest on the seventh. Take two portions on Saturday, or I'll say Saturday, and then rest on the seventh day, right? And then the Lord called it the Sabbath day, and keep that day holy. So the idea of a day for rest has been in effect ever since the beginning of time. There was one commentary that says this is probably the oldest commandment. Right? It's been in effect since the beginning of time, and because it was God who declared it and commanded it to be remembered and observed, therefore it must serve a purpose, right? So for the Israelites who were present during their time in the wilderness, the purpose was for them to remember God's faithfulness to provide for their needs and therefore reinforce or strengthen their faith in Him. I argued for that during that sermon on the manna, okay, in Exodus 16. It's God reinforcing them, their faith in Him, by saying, don't worry, I'll provide for you all the 6 days. And don't worry, what you collect extra on the sixth day will not rot. You can still eat it on the seventh day. To strengthen their faith in Him as far as Exodus 16 is concerned. Now, what about for us today? For us today, I believe that God is reminding human beings to remember the day of rest because this is the proper way to work. Let me say it again. For us, God wants us to remember the day of rest because it is the proper way to work. Sounds wrong. What are you talking about, work or rest? I'm talking about both, but mainly work. The proper way to work is to remember the day of rest, which is in reference to Genesis 2, when God worked 6 days and then declared the seventh as His rest day. So what do I mean by that? And by the way, this is the how of the fourth commandment. Now, what is remember the Sabbath day? How do we do that? Verses 9 and 10. Can you guys read? Verse 9. I think they're resting over there. Verse 9. 6 days. So notice that the command is for everybody who works, right? Not just you, your son, your daughter, your servants, even your animals. They all work. God's saying, give all these people, all these beasts, rest. Even the sojourner, give him rest. So it's for everybody, right? So you follow the train of thought, right? First, we answer the question, what is God commanding the Israelites and us to do? Answer, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Next question is, how do we do that? And look at the first part of the answer again in verse 9. How do you remember the Sabbath? Work 6 days. That's why I said the Sabbath is a reminder on how to work properly. Because it says right away, work 6 days. And then in verse 10, don't work on the seventh day. So again, this means for us today to remember the Sabbath is to always remind ourselves that we don't need to be working all the time. God's training us to always think about, remind yourselves, that you don't have to be working all the time. By us to remember the Sabbath day, God is actually teaching us how we ought to work or how work ought to be done. And this brings us to the why. Why is God doing this? Verse 11. You guys read. Verse 11. Okay, so see that four, the beginning? Four in 6 days. So what? Remember the Sabbath day. How? Work 6 days, rest seventh. Why? Because God did it that way. Pretty simple, right? Because God did it this way. So another layer can be found in the second version of this commandment. Okay. Who knows where the second version is found? Deuteronomy. There's another version of this commandment in Deuteronomy. Check it out. Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15. You guys read it again. Catch where the difference was? Where was the difference between that version, the one that Moses spoke to the Israelites or reminded the Israelites of, versus the one in Exodus? What's the difference? That last part, right? He reminded them of their slavery, right? So here in Deuteronomy, Moses reminded the Israelites that they had been freed from slave work. That the God who commanded the Sabbath has redeemed the way that they used to understand work. How did the Israelites used to understand work? For the Israelites before, their understanding of work was nonstop work. They work nonstop. And you work to please your master. Right? They had to work not just to please, but to save their lives, right? Because if they don't work, what is the Pharaoh going to do? He's going to kill them. He's going to tell all his guards to, this person is no longer useful, dead. That was the idea of work that the Israelites had. And Moses is saying, remember the Sabbath day because remember how you used to work? You remember your idea of work? That's not how you should work, right? That was the only way that they knew how work was supposed to be done. It was supposed to be done to please your master and to save your own life. But now that they are under God's rule, God is renewing their idea of work. So instead of always thinking of work as the only way to please their master, or in other words, have a slave mentality, God is commanding them to set apart a day for rest because that's what pleases God the most. Okay? So their master is different now. The master says, I'm not pleased with you working 7 days a week. I'm more pleased when you set apart one day to rest. God's pleasure is for his people being confident in his faithfulness to provide. His pleasure is to see them take a day of rest. That's why Jesus said in the Gospels, come to me. What does he say? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden from all your work, and I will give you rest. What pleases God the most is when we learn to rest. Right? Rest in what? In Genesis, it was his finished creation. Rest in that. I've created everything for you. Now you can rest on it. You just enjoy it. Right? And if you think about it in Genesis, why would God put the Sabbath to begin with? He doesn't need rest. It's not like he got tired from creating the universe. He wasn't tired. It's an example for us to follow, to imitate, because we need rest, because we're finite beings, right? So when we see God needing rest, okay. If he rested, then maybe we should too. On a practical aspect, that's what God is showing us. What pleases God the most is when we learn to rest in his finished work in creation. And also, when Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, he's teaching us to rest in the salvation that is in him. Just like what Moses said in Deuteronomy. Remember the Sabbath day. Why? Because that's the time where God rescued you from slavery to Egypt. Right? And Jesus even said that he's the Lord of the Sabbath. What does that mean? It means that he has authority over the rules that govern Sabbath day. All the Gospels declare that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And I guess to just give you a short background on it, it was because he was, corrected by the Pharisees, him and his disciples. Why are your disciples working? Right? Jesus said, no, who are you to tell me what to do with the Sabbath? I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus says that the Sabbath was made, created for who? For man. And not man for the Sabbath. This means that the Sabbath was not supposed to make the life of mankind harder, what the Pharisees were doing, to enslave man further, rather than providing them rest. Jesus meant this for physical rest. So Jesus is saying, what you're doing, what the Pharisees were doing, is just making the Sabbath even harder. That's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be rest for you. It's supposed to be rest for mankind. It's supposed to be rest for his people. So Jesus, when he said that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, he meant physical rest, but more so, he meant spiritual rest. Because what he's about to do by the end of the Gospels, which is to buy that rest for us on the cross, right? So, now, based on those answers to what, how, and the why questions of the commandment number 4, let's put them together. Let's put together what it means for the Israelites and for us to remember the Sabbath day. So just to summarize, God's commandment to remember the Sabbath day is so that we can have joy in the work, knowing that there is a day of rest coming. Let me say that once again. God's command to remember the Sabbath day is so that we can have joy in the work, knowing that there is a day of rest that is coming. So when we observe this day of rest, we can do so confidently, knowing that the God of the Sabbath will be faithful to provide everything that we need. Right? So we can enjoy the work. Work by itself is not evil. Okay? Even before sin came into the world, God told Adam to work the garden. Right? You guys remember that part in Genesis? It's not evil. What happened was when they sinned, work was cursed. Cursed in what? The ground that you're working on. It was cursed. So it doesn't matter how hard you work, it seems like you're not gaining anything. It seems like you're running on a treadmill. It's like this. Those of you who are working to lose weight, anybody? Working to lose weight? Nobody? I guess you like where you're at. That's fine, too. It's all good. But if you're working to lose weight and you're working so hard that you don't rest, guess what? You're never going to lose weight. Part of what it is to help you lose weight is for you to rest, to get enough sleep, to get enough rest, because that's where your work, okay, takes effect in your body. Even biologically, it makes sense, right? Because if you just exercise and diet and diet and diet and exercise and you don't sleep properly, you're never going to lose weight. You're just going to keep working and working and working until you die. You die fat. You're not going to lose any. Because that's what it is, right? God designed it that way to show us this greater picture that we cannot work and work and work to save ourselves. It needs to be a day of rest, and we need to be confident in that day of rest that God, the Lord of the Sabbath, will be faithful to provide everything that we need. So that's the meaning of that command. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Simple, right? Okay, let's pray. Let's close with a word of prayer. Now, interpretation-wise, seems simple, but the application can get complicated. Application can get complicated. So the question now is, what does an understanding of the Sabbath like that, what does it look like in our daily lives? How do we go about remembering and observing the Sabbath day practically? Let's start by looking at foundational layers for the Sabbath day. These are the guidelines I'm going to place around. Okay, we're going to layer the Sabbath so we can use these guidelines in order to decide what to do on our day of rest. Okay. Because if I was to ask you, would you rather be here today if you had a long week? Would you rather be here today than just in your bed, just chilling in your bed watching Netflix? Most of us would pick that. But let's put a foundation around it. Let's put a guidelines around this so we can be informed whenever we choose to do or think about what we should do on the day of our rest. So what does it mean to observe the Sabbath practically? These foundational layers, these will be our jumping off points as we try to determine what to do and how to spend our time during our remembering and observing the Sabbath day. And for our purposes, we will go with a traditional Christian day dedicated for this purpose, which is Sundays. Some people observe it on Saturday. Okay, but we will go with the Sunday. Okay, or we call it now the Lord's Day. All right, first layer of the foundation. First layer of the foundation to help us determine how we should spend the Lord's Day. So when God declared the Sabbath, God blessed it, and what did he do? Set it apart, made it holy. Set it apart from what? All the other days of the week, right? This means that this day has to be different from all your other days. Okay, that's the first foundation. Sabbath day, rest day, Lord's day has to be different from all your other days. And the main difference would be, mainly, instead of working on this day, you should be resting the way God rested on Sabbath day. Some of us, coming to church is work, right? But it should be rest. So That's the first foundation. This day should be different. So foundationally, the observation of the Lord's day means for us to cease. Cease in doing our usual activities and to do something that we don't do during the week or we can't do during the week. First layer. Okay? This day is different. Second layer says that this day belongs in some special way to God. Set apart Sabbath for me, God says, right? This day belongs in some special way to God and therefore should be spent uniquely for Him, for God. Sabbath is supposed to be spent uniquely for God. Now, all of us probably thinking right now of the extreme. That means we should be at church the whole day. Is that what it means? We're going to be taking that up later on in the message, right? Second layer again. Since it's a special day for what? Set apart uniquely for God. So it's not a freebie day. Not like a free day. You know, Monday to Saturdays I work. Sunday, free day. I can do whatever I want. Remember what we said about human freedom? Can't handle it. Right? So why would God give you a free day? You'll go crazy. Not good for you. So God set this day apart for Himself. So let me give you an illustration just to drive the point. It's like this. It's like celebrating an anniversary or a birthday. Okay. It's a special day set apart in celebration of something. But you don't celebrate a birthday for the whole day. Do you? Some of us do it for a month. It's my birthday month. Don't ask me to do anything. I do what I want to do. You don't really do that, right? And here's the other thing. When you observe such a day, doesn't your activities usually revolve around who or what you're celebrating? It does, right? If it's your anniversary, wedding anniversary, you don't tell your wife, okay, wife, it's our anniversary special day for us. I'll do whatever I want. You do what you want. That's not what it's for. You're supposed to spend it with your wife because that's what you're celebrating, right? So in a sense, that's what God is saying too. God is saying, it's not a freebie day. This is a day you should set apart uniquely for me because this is a day in celebration of what I have done, right? So remember that second layer. Third layer says, this day is special in that we should use it to imitate God in our resting. Verse 11. So God, when He rested on the seventh day, I said He didn't need the rest, but why did He take it? Is because it's an example for us to follow. So when God, when He rested on the seventh day, took the time, what did He do? Took the time to enjoy everything that He has created. So everything that He has created was good, very good. So for us to imitate this means that we should also take the time to look at what God has done in our lives and to sit back and enjoy His goodness. How? By giving Him praises, gratitude, and worship for all of these things. Doing this completes our joy in God. I'm not going to get into that statement because I've already preached on that. Right? When you just look at the goodness of God in your life and not praise, your joy won't be complete. You have to praise. We have to do that. For some of us, it just comes out naturally. That should be for all of us. But that's what it is. This third layer says that. You should take the time to imitate God in His praises, in worship of everything that He's done in our lives. So now, given those layers, okay, how are we to practically and truthfully live out this commandment? So now you have guidelines. How do you live this out? Alec Mathier said this. He said that the vagueness is doubtless deliberate. So when God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, He didn't give us any details. It's vague. But Mathier is saying it's deliberate. Why? Because it's leaving room for individual choice and personal preference. But the one thing that is common into all these three principles is that it has to be a different day. It can't be the same day as the rest of your week. Especially for those of you who are retired. Those of you who are retired. Raise your hand. If you're retired, have you seen that movie Groundhog Day? Groundhog Day is a movie where he wakes up and it's the same day over and over again. So he would jump off a building one day, and then he would come back and wake up, and the same day, it's the same thing. He got run over by a bus that same day, and he would wake up. Oh, everything's happening the same day over and over again. When you're retired, days seem to be like that, right? You don't even know what day it is. What is it today? Wednesday? Thursday? I don't know. Because it's the same day over and over again, especially if you have a routine, right? Same day over and over and over again. So God's saying the Sabbath day has to be different. It can't be the same as the rest of your days. There has to be something different about it. So in other words, how we choose to spend the Lord's day should be determined by these layers, these guidelines that I just gave you. So that you can base that day, your choice on what to do on that day based on these guidelines. Spending the Lord's day, a day of rest, outside of those layers negates God's purpose for that day. Again, what is God's purpose for that day? For you to, first of all, physically rest, and for you to spiritually, mentally rest by leaning on Him, by resting on Him, right? So don't spend the rest day doing the same thing. Do something else, right? And again, what are the foundational layers for spending the Lord's day that will accomplish God's purpose for that day, that special day in our lives? First, that day is different. We should do something different than what we usually do during the week, especially for the retired people. The difference being, whatever we decide to do must be uniquely done around. Sorry, retired people. But because sometimes I get that comment, like, what day is it again today? How can you not know unless your whole day, your days are all the same? So first thing you should think about, this day has to be different. How? The difference is that whatever we decide to do in that day must be uniquely done around our worship of God. It's the second one. And third, we should do that in imitation of God, in admiration and praise and thanksgiving for all that He has done in our lives. Now, I went to this question earlier. This question came to mind while I was studying this. So practically, does this mean that our whole Lord's Day should be spent in church activities? Who says, yes, it should be? Oh, somebody say amen. One. Anybody else? It's not a trick question. Should our Lord's Day, should our rest day be spent at church doing church activities all day? Bunch of Pharisees in here. I think there's a lot of Pharisees in our congregation. Because I would say no. And I think practically, you don't spend the whole day here. Do you? I don't see. Sometimes I'm the last one to leave here. Everybody else left. Are you going to a different church attending another service? Because I would say no. Practically, it doesn't. It's not reality. We don't spend the whole day at church. So, but please don't take that to mean that attending and participating in the church's worship service and activities are not vital to your growth as a Christian. It is. But you don't spend it all. Nobody does. So now, how do we answer that question? I think this this will help. It might not help, but I think it, hopefully it helps. I think that what we need to realize is that this break that we have from our work week, that the Sunday worship service and church activities provide, is really mainly for our own benefit. The reason I say that is because for some people, coming to church is something that you have to do. That's why some of us probably said, no, you have to be here all day. No, it should be something that you want to do. I think that's the foundation for that. And at the bottom of that is that this coming to church, this rest that we're getting in worship, is actually for our own benefit. Let me unpack that some more. Bill Gates, when asked why he does not believe in God, he was interviewed and somebody asked him, why don't you believe in God? Bill Gates answered this: just in terms of allocation of time resources, religion is not very efficient. There's a lot more I could be doing on a Sunday morning. Is that true? Yes. Is that true for you? But do you do other things on a Sunday? Bill Gates, that's his answer, right? And here's the problem, and I'm going to quote Ryken on this. Ryken says, our problem is that we find it so hard to take genuine delight in the sanctified pleasures of God. Dare I say it, God bores us. We are willing to spend some time worshiping him, but then we feel like we need a break. And so we go right back into the world's lesser pleasures. But the more we learn to delight in God, the more willing we are to keep his day holy. Now look, listen to this next part. Most practical applications are easy when we want to honor the Lord on his day. Strain and struggle come when we want to use it to do our own thing. So should we spend our day at church, the whole Sunday at church? I said, no. But you could spend your whole day honoring God. No, practically. Ooh, you just came back from vacation. Did you go to church on a Sunday? When you were in Paris and were you in it? Do you? If you're in a resort, you know, all inclusive, is there a church there? So how do you do rest day? That whole week rest? Well, what's one of the guidelines? That day has to be different. It has to have something to do with what you're celebrating, God's goodness, and it's an imitation of God. So when you're on vacation, do you do that? Is there a day that you set apart that you actually do those? That day fits in within those guidelines? You could. And you could argue it could be every day. Right? But because of our busyness here, it's not every day. But thank God that he set apart a day. So can you do that during Sundays? Yeah. You don't have to be here the whole time, but you can use that day to just do that. Right? So in a way, I see a parallel for this issue to God's instruction to Adam and Eve in the garden. Right? What was God's instruction to Adam and Eve in the garden? God said, you can have any fruit of all the trees. But don't eat of the one tree. Why? Because you're going to die. Right? So in the same way, God said, 6 days, you work. But don't take that one day. Don't work on that one day. Why? Because you're going to die. Physically, you will. You keep working these hours. And that's why some people, they're, how old are you? I'm 30. They look 60. It's hard work, because work does that to you. Right? I don't know about you, like, the work does that to you. It makes you look like that's the curse of work. Because you keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and you're still not. You're still in debt. You're still in, you're not rich. Like, so God says, just chill. What does the proverb say? The rich have a hard time sleeping. Meanwhile, the poor, sleeping soundly. They look younger. But it's true, right? That's the parable of God saying, work 6 days. I know you need 6 days to work, to earn a living, to provide for your family. But don't take the seventh. The seventh day is going to kill you if you work. Right? Don't take that one day. I set that apart for a reason. Because it could lead to your death. Right? This is why Jesus said in the Sabbath that the Sabbath was made, again, for man and not man, for the Sabbath. A day dedicated to the worship of God is not supposed to be a burden. Like the command not to eat of the fruit or of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not God withholding something from Adam and Eve. Observing the Sabbath the day, the way we ought to, the way that is prescribed by God, will help us live fuller lives. I don't just mean fuller, but lasting. Not only will this day give us physical and spiritual rest and restoration, this day could also be used here to spend time that you don't have during the week to do the things that you're not able to do during the week. One of those things is what? Spend quality time with your family. Right? Spend some time with your friends. Catch up on your own spiritual walk. A lot of times I hear a lot of people, do you pray, study your Bible every day? No, I'm too busy. Well, guess what? There's good news for you. There's one day you can catch up. The day of rest. Take a day. Catch up. Don't have to be here. Right? Spend time with your family. Catch up on your own spiritual walk. Spend time alone with God. I find that hard to do during the week. Right? Because it's just there's so much going on. So the Lord's Day is a day set aside by God for God. How we choose to spend this day will play a role on what kind of rest we end up experiencing. What do I mean by that? Who here has gone on vacation for rest and come back, you're more tired, you need another vacation? Maybe because you didn't rest properly. I just found out recently, who here has reverse osmosis water? Reverse osmosis? I have it. A doctor said that reverse osmosis water doesn't really get rid of your thirst because it lacks the minerals. That's why you should put some salt in it. I put some kind of electrolytes in it because that's what it is. That's what tap water will do. But tap water has all kinds of other stuff that's not good for you. But that's why, right? So same thing with this, right? Same thing with this. Sometimes you go on vacation, you're supposed to get rest, but you're missing a salt. You're missing some salt in your vacation. That's why you come back, I need another vacation. Because you missed some salt. In your rest, you didn't really rest. So God's saying, no. Because vacation is work, right? Carry your luggage. Chase your plane, do this, do that. God says, even on your vacation, take a break and spend some time actually doing rest. Right? Day, the Lord's Day is a day set aside by God for God. How you spend it will play a role on what kind of rest that you are experiencing. Now, practical application. I don't have any. I can't tell you what to do with your Sundays. I can't tell you what to do on your rest day other than to say that you should at least give thought to what this day is for and to what you ought to be doing on this day as a professing Christian. That's why I gave you those guidelines. Now, I'm going to use myself as an example because that's the only example that I know. And this doesn't apply to you. But you can probably look at it and say, okay, that's the example. How does that apply to to me. So for me, Sunday is a work day. Because what I'm doing here is work.
It is.
Right? It's the day I spend my time working towards during my week. So once I get home tonight, I start thinking of the message for next week. And then I start putting it together. First in your head, and then you gather the resources, write it down, one draft. By Wednesday, I should have one draft. Thursday, second draft. Friday, another draft if I need to. Saturdays, that's it. Game over. You can't change your mind after that because Sunday is the next day. So for me, this is a work day. So my rest day is really, I've set it for Monday. Tomorrow is my rest day. This is the day I do something different than what I usually do with the rest of my week. Now, whether I just take the time to rest physically or whether I use that time to do something else, like ride my bike. I'm hoping the weather is good. I can ride my bike or spend time with my family, spend time with my wife. My goal for that day is to be refreshed and recharged. For what? For what God has called me to do. I can't keep doing this if I don't recharge, if I don't rest, if I keep on working. I have to recharge. But in the recharging, I always try to be conscious about how the activity that I'm doing on that special day of rest will affect my growth as a follower of Christ and my ministry that God has called me to. It's still in the back of my mind. So when I ride my bike, that's when I talk to myself and say, wow. I clear my head. Sometimes I preach a sermon while I'm riding my bike. But it sucks that those sermons are the good ones. Because when I get home and I try to write it down, it's gone. I don't remember it anymore. Or when I drive my car. But my point is, even in those activities, there's somewhere in the back of my head that I'm thinking, how is this going to help my growth as a believer and the ministry that God has called me to, even though I'm resting. So I'm working while I'm resting. The Things of This Earth that we took up during prayer meeting. It says there that there's an indirect way that we can worship God. While you're eating your food, okay, what do you do when you eat your food? You're supposed to what? Pray for it first, right? And then you just enjoy it. You don't pray for your food, and then after one bite, you pray again. Oh, Lord, that was so good. Thank you. So you can say you're worshiping while you're eating. That's not how you do it. You pray one time, you praise God, thank God for the food, and then you just go to town. But on your peripheral, you're thinking this. Oh, God, yeah, God, this is so good. God, this is so good. Same thing with rest. Whatever you do, whatever you decide to do, that's within those guidelines. Whatever it is, you should have one eye on what you're doing. Let's say you're with your wife or you're with your kids. Focus on them. Meanwhile, in the peripheral, in the back of your mind, you're saying, thank God my wife is. Thank God for my kids. Thank God for my job. Thank God for. That's why I said earlier, you can use the whole Sunday to do this. You don't have to be here, right? Because when you go home, spend some time with your family. If you don't get to spend some time with your wife, spend some time with your wife. You need that, right? And so that's what I do. Or in other words, I try to always be conscious about how the activity that I'm doing, again, on that special day of rest will help me recharge as far as my spiritual, physical life is concerned. And again, you can argue that you can do that every day of the week. But thank God, because we can't do that every day of the week, because there's a lot of things that are going on in our lives every day of the week. Thank God that in His mercy and in His grace, He has commanded us. Didn't just request. Right? Didn't just say, one day would be good for you to rest. No, take one day to rest. He commanded us to take that day to be refreshed and rested from all of life's hardships. I don't care if it's real hardship at work, if it's physical hardship, or if it's hardship on vacation. take a rest day. God's saying, let's not waste this day of rest. Let us use it to refresh ourselves physically and spiritually as we remind ourselves of the goodness of God through the worship and praise of His Son. And let us continue to pray for the wisdom that we need to make the right choices when we observe the Lord's Day in ways that will refresh our mind, our body, and our spirit, and bring glory to the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. I'll leave you with that. Think about it, meditate on it, and then go out and apply it. Amen. Let's pray.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you
and give you peace.
And give you peace. Gracious.